Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
World on a Roll.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Twice a year, the International Monetary Fund weighs in on the world's economic growth. This year, the news is pretty good. An expansion of 5.1% expected this year and 4.9% next year. If all goes well, the world could chalk up its strongest 4 years since the early 70s. The IMF report does mention a slowing U.S. economy and inflation among the risks, but Europe's economy is still going strong. Japan's is in recovery. And the real action is in the rest of Asia. Jocelyn Ford reports from Beijing.
This year, economies in Asia are expected to grow at a much faster clip than earlier predicted. In the spring, the IMF said Asian economies would grow 7.9% this year. Now it's expecting 8.3%, slipping to 8.2% next year. That's thanks to a strong showing by China and India. Economist Bill Belcher of Macquarie Securities says the possibility of a slowing U.S. economy no longer poses as serious a threat to Asian exporters as it used to.
The rest of the world is becoming richer. The middle classes are building out, so there's more final demand globally. And this is a process that will make the U.S., you know, not so central to growth.
China's playing an increasingly important role. In the past 15 years, it's gone from less than 1% of global GDP to about 5%. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Wall Street's kind of on a roll itself. Four straight days of gains have our faves at their highest levels in 4 months. The Dow was up 45 points yesterday, or a third of a percent. The Nasdaq was up 11 points. The S&P 500 added 4 points. And investors will be watching later this morning when we get some numbers on how retailers are doing. Today, there is a conference in New York for brands that want to push products better to men. Call it a man conference, where the likes of Microsoft, Miller, and Cadillac get together to work out how to hook that elusive young male. He's watching less and less television these days, you know. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Sales of male-only grooming products went up 14% last year. And that's not just shaving cream. Increasingly, it's moisturizer, even hair dye. Still, there are plenty of other things marketers would like to pitch men. Robert Thompson teaches television and pop culture at Syracuse University.
Men buy all kinds of things besides trucks and large screen TVs. You know, people in college fraternities have got to buy hot plates and kitchen utensils and all the rest of it. And I think it's been very unclear how one begins to appeal to that group.
The problem, he says, is that advertisers love stereotypes. And when it comes to men, they haven't progressed much beyond the beer-swilling, nacho-chomping sports nut. Or another stereotype that was all the rage a few years ago, the now-reviled metrosexual. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A music producer in New York ordered takeout from a favorite Indian restaurant. The cost? $2,500. Really. The restaurant is in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The food is coming over to the Big Apple on a corporate jet. This is Marketplace. Around the country this morning, the City Council of Houston has just approved shared ride service to and from Houston's airports for the first time, even though it's common in most big cities. The council awarded just one contract. Super Shuttle was the winner. The price, $18 to $25 a ride. And San Francisco hotel managers can relax a little. Cooks, housekeepers, bellmen, and other members of Unite Here Local 2 have reached a tentative contract agreement with 13 hotels. It includes higher wages, better pensions, and full health care benefits. And it took almost 2 weeks of negotiations to reach the agreement. In Washington state, expenditures keep climbing for campaigns for state Supreme Court justice. More than $2.7 million has been spent already. In 2004 elections, independent groups spent about $5,500. This is an arms race. This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. Anyone can walk into Target and buy a pair of jeans, but only those willing to shell out $140 at an exclusive boutique can wear jeans with Target's logo on their keister. Target has entered the world of high fashion. Its line is called Target Couture, and yes, it's pronounced Target. Now, instead of bang for your buck, this bullseye will deliver a little bling. Sarah Lemanchek reports on the grand success.
Carmen Electra, Kristen Bell, Sophia Bush.
Jay Hirsch owns the very hip, celebrity-frequented shop Intuition in Los Angeles.
Jessica Simpson, Nikki Hilton, Paris Hilton, like all the it girls are totally all over wearing the bullseye.
She means the Target bullseye. On the back of jeans, bedazzled across t-shirts and belts, woven in cashmere, and glittering as $3,000 pendant necklaces. Hirsch says it might sound like a mismatch, but she's not surprised the collection is selling out.
Everybody refers to Target as Target, kind of the underground, I'm going to Target this weekend. And I thought, what a great idea to take the hottest designers in t-shirt, denim, jewelry, accessories, and celebrate the bullseye.
Jay's Target Couture line marks the first time Target has ever allowed the use of the bullseye in a non-Target setting. It's probably also the first time a discount retailer's logo has been swathed in diamonds and 14-karat gold. Rohini Ahluwalia is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Minnesota. For a successful brand like Target, she says, there's some risk in going so upscale.
The Target brand is really built on these two legs. You've got the value and you've got the style and the design. Now you make one of those legs a little stronger, maybe. So the issue is, are you going to start limping?
Rohini says that Target Couture could make Target's design for all mantra hold a little less water.
So you're a Target shopper who goes in to get, let's say, a $25 or $30, you know, handbag, but now sees the Target Couture with a $250 or a $300 handbag. The consumer then might start reasoning, is it the quality that is lower? And so people start having sort of a devaluing effect for the core brand.
But Hirsch says that Target's core customers aren't so different from hers.
We had some walk-by traffic that thought, oh, is Target opening up, you know, a store here? But then when they got in and they saw the merchandise, was like, you know, oh, my God, Target is my favorite store. I have to have one of these.
Target shoppers agree. It is their favorite store. But they have mixed feelings about bullseye bling.
I would never wear something with a Target bullseye on it. People like me who read the magazines kind of see it and kind of want to get their hands on it.
I don't know. I just think that Target should probably just stay in the price range that it's been staying in, and to make things more expensive turns me off because that's why I come to Target, you know, good prices.
It's soon to be more than just LA. Jay is busy at work on a spring line, and Target Couture could be coming to a Neiman Marcus near you. I'm Sarah Lemanchuk for Marketplace.
And here in LA, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Economists are always trying to understand.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.